If you're a Christian, you pay attention to issues of morality. You strive for honesty, integrity, purity, and so on. When you think of the various virtues you're striving for, issues of morality, would you put happiness on that list?
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fire of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
What are some of the most important virtues that you would want to have in your life, or that you would want your kids to have? What are some important virtues? A virtue is just a morally excellent behavior or characteristic as a virtue.
Honesty,
okay. Humility, perseverance. What about happiness?
Yes.
Would you put that in the list of virtues? I mean, does that belong in the same list? It's a good thing. But is it in that same kind of category, a moral issue? And while you chew on that question, so let me ask you this. Are you happy? First of all, do you feel happy right now? And in your life in general, are you a happy person? And what makes you happy in your life? And what kinds of things take away your happiness? We always have a mix of sadness and happiness. We're complex beings with complex emotions, so we've always got some kind of a mix. What does it take for the sadness or anger or negative emotions in your heart to be greater than the happiness and joy in your heart? What kinds of events, what kinds of circumstances make that the situation? These are all really important questions because happiness is a really, really big deal in the Christian faith. Your happiness, how much happiness you have and the source of your happiness is a big deal to God. It matters a lot to God. And not just in your life personally, but also in your relationships with people and family and in the health of the church and for the glory of God. Your happiness impacts all of that. And so Paul gives this command in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, be happy all the time. That's the command. Be happy in the Lord all the time. And so my prayer is that by the end of tonight, you'll be more excited than ever about the prospect of having greater happiness in your life. And as early as tomorrow, you'll notice an actual noticeable difference in your level of joy and happiness that you feel. So that's my goal. Now, you may not have thought much about your happiness playing a role in the health of the church you attend. But I believe that's the primary focus here. I think that's what the point of this verse is. The whole book of Philippians is focused on church unity. The first three verses of chapter 4 tackle the problem of unity head on. Paul just calls these two parties out by name, tells them, have the same attitude. So that's a direct statement about unity. Then in verse 4, he just suddenly commands us to be happy. And I don't think that's a change of subject. I think he's still focused on the unity of the church all the way through verse 9. And all this material, verses 4 to 9, is for the purpose of making spiritual preparations that will enable us to have unity and harmony in our relationships. We need these virtues in order to have unity. If the people in a church are not prepared spiritually, if they're missing certain virtues, you're not going to have unity in that church, no matter how much you can have a major unity campaign and put banners on the wall and have policies in place for unity and everything else. But there's not going to be unity until the hearts of all the people are prepared spiritually with the various virtues in this chapter. We need to be basically three virtues. We need to be prepared. The three areas are our relationship with God, our relationship with people, and our relationship with circumstances. And those three, God, people, circumstances, that's verses 4, 5, and 6. Regarding God, we need to be joyful in the Lord. That's verse 4. Regarding people, we need to be gentle and reasonable. That's verse 5. And regarding circumstances, we need to be unflappable and at peace. That's verse 6. So the three virtues that we need to prepare us for unity are happiness, humility, and tranquility. If you're weak in those areas, you're going to get into conflicts with people. You're going to get into fights. You're going to have problems. If you're missing happiness, humility, or tranquility, in other words, if you're stressed out, bummed out, or puffed up, then you're gonna have problems with people. You're gonna have conflicts. And if the other person is also stressed out, bummed out, or puffed up, then you're really gonna have a lot of conflict. And even if it's just one of the three, you need all three of them on both sides. Because even if the other person is stressed out and you're bummed out, or they're puffed up and you're stressed out, or any combination of them, then before long you're going to have problems. And so Paul's going to teach us how to have unity by being happy instead of being bummed out, how to be reasonable with each other, which requires humility, and how to have the peace of God in your heart instead of anxiety. Tonight we're just going to do the first one, verse 4, happiness. So I start with a question, is happiness a virtue? Is it a moral issue? Answer to that is absolutely yes. Yes, yes, yes. It is a virtue. It is exactly the same category as honesty, integrity, self-control, all the rest of them. It is a moral issue. It's a matter of godly character. The most well-known list of virtues in the Bible has got to be Galatians 5:22, right? The fruit of the Spirit. And it talks about love and peace and patience and self-control and all the stuff we just mentioned. But right there in the list, right in the middle of all those, joy, right? Number two in the list, joy. God requires us to be happy. God is happy. Jesus Christ is happy. It's part of His character. And so as we strive to conform our character to God's character and be like Christ, we must strive to be happiness. Happiness is a key part of holiness. Cannot be holy without being happy. It's an essential part of holiness. It's a virtue, which means if you're lacking it, you're lacking. It's just like lacking love or humility or integrity or honesty. It's essential. The very fact that God commands it makes it a moral issue, doesn't it? I mean, if He tells you to do something, He tells you to pick up a piece of paper off the floor. That, now that's a moral issue, right? Because God said to do it. And God commands it and commands it and commands it and repeatedly throughout Scripture. He keeps commanding it, even repeatedly in this book. He commanded it in chapter 3, verse 1. Now twice again in chapter 4. Elsewhere in Scripture, Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful always. It's just hard to overstate the importance of joy in the Christian life. It's so fundamental. In fact, Romans 14:17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God, pretty big biblical theological theme, right? The kingdom of God is a matter of joy. You need it, not only for church unity, but for every aspect of the Christian life. Which is why when Paul summarizes his work as a spiritual leader in 2 Corinthians 1:24, he says, we are workers for your joy. That's what we are as church leaders. We're working for your joy. That's what a spiritual leader does. Works for the joy of the people under his charge. That's what the work of the ministry is. In fact, just flip back to chapter 1. Look at verses 23 to 25 there. In the context here, Paul is in prison. He's in so much pain that he longs to just die and go to be with Jesus. It'd be better by far. And he ends up deciding that he'd rather stay here in this hard life, in his pain, even with all the suffering. Why? Because if he died and he went to heaven, he would lose the opportunity to work for the Philippians' joy. Look at verse 23. He says, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your what? Progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus might overflow on account of me. He wanted to keep on living. This is what gave his life meaning. Seek your meaning in life and seek your joy in life from making people happy in the Lord, making other people happy in the Lord. Go there, not career, not family, not go there. Try to cause other people to be happy in the Lord. If you succeed, you will be so happy and so fulfilled in your life that you would be willing to postpone heaven to keep doing it, like Paul. I love Proverbs 12:20. It says, there is joy for those who promote peace. There's joy for those who promote peace. Why is this such a big deal to God? It's not just so that we'll feel good. I mean, that's a benefit of happiness, obviously. It's because here's why it's so important. If a person isn't happy in the Lord, that's going to result in all kinds of sin in the person's life. And it's going to keep the person from making progress in faith, in love, in humility, patience, self-control. All the rest of the virtues that we mentioned before are going to be hindered if we don't have proper joy. If I'm not happy in the Lord, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to be compelled to find happiness somewhere else, which is going to be the root of 1,000 different sins in my life. I'm going to have to feel like I have to scratch and claw to get whatever it is that I think is going to make me happy. And so what's it going to do? I'll end up putting that thing ahead of loving others, and that's going to make me selfish. And how many sins does that cause? If I'm not happy enough in the Lord, I'm not going to have any self-control because my impulses are just going to dominate me by promising me happiness and temporal pleasures, which I must have now because I don't have any happiness from the Lord. There's just a general principle that you love the things that make you happy. The more something makes you happy, the more you love that thing. And so if I'm not happy in the Lord, I'm going to get my happiness from somewhere else, which means I'm going to love that other thing where I'm getting my happiness from, which means I'm not going to love God like I should. And failure to love God will ruin everything in your spiritual life.
You might be working on various things in your Christian life. How about today you focus on increasing your joy in the Lord? Take every opportunity you can find to rejoice in the Lord and spread that joy to as many people around you as possible.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians, 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.